Hi, this is Chuck Kenny, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. 27 years ago, my wife Judy and I started Shasta Gas with the help and under the direction of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, we believe He is the owner and we are simply the managers. Through the years, we have received many offers from major national corporations to buy Shasta Gas, but our commitment has always been to be and remain locally owned and family operated. Our daughter Karen Wehunt and her husband Jason now manage the daily operations of Shasta Gas and Shasta Tanks, a new business we started a few years ago. We now have the third generation of family members working in the business. Sunshine Stevens, our granddaughter, and her husband Adam, and our grandson Jason. Our commitment and motto are still the same. Our customers are warm friends. To support locally owned family operated business, please call Shasta Gas Propane at 530-365-3793. That's 530-365-3793.
From the historic campus of Hillsdale College in Hillsdale, Michigan, where the good, the true, and the beautiful are taught, nurtured, and honored, this is the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour, bringing the activity and education of the college to listeners across the country.
I knew that if I insisted on putting the language in agreement with them, that I would be caught afoul of Mrs. Reagan, which was not a very pleasant situation.
This is your host, Scott Bertram. Welcome to the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour, part of the Hillsdale College Podcast Network. That was Ken Kachigian, author of Behind Closed Doors, In the Room with Reagan and Nixon. And for this election week, we spend time later on in today's program with a man who has spent lots of time behind closed doors with both Ronald Reagan and Richard Nixon. First, we're joined by Dr. Kathleen O'Toole, Assistant Provost for K-12 Education at Hillsdale College. Dr. O'Toole, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Discussing today an op-ed you wrote a while ago in the Detroit News, classical charter schools can help reverse COVID learning losses and can be found at DetroitNews.com. Start with the basics, I guess. Are we, what does the data say? Are we still catching up from this learning loss that was suffered during the COVID pandemic and then the subsequent school shutdowns?
Unsurprisingly, the fact that children were not attending school regularly for the better part of a year, in some cases longer than a year, depending on the state, and that we relied on virtual instruction and sending home packets and things as a substitute for in-person learning did not go very well.
Mm-hmm.
And especially for young students who are at the very beginning of their education, kindergarten through third grade, when they're learning to read, learning basic math skills, learning the habits that will enable them to be students and continue learning for the rest of their years, especially for those students, the effects continue to persist.
Mm. Some people might take a look and say, they're a little behind. It's no big deal. What are the possible ramifications? Why should we care that students are behind where they should be, and if they continue to lag behind where they should be in their education?
Well, the data we have is regarding reading and math scores, and I can talk about the effects of a poor reading and math education over the course of a student's K through 12 years. But first, I think a point needs to be made about the habits that are developed.
Hmm.
Anyone who has young children, I have two very young children right now, they're 2 and 3, knows that the name of the game is building habits.
Uh-huh.
And if you don't build the habits well, chaos will reign. That's the phase that I'm in right now. It gets a little bit, you know, they're a little bit more capable when they're in kindergarten, but they're still very much building the habits of going to school, conducting themselves in a certain way when they're in the classroom, developing the ability to listen, developing the ability to learn in a room with others, developing the ability to apply their minds to work, and then, of course, understanding the difference between learning time and play time.
Mm-hmm.
And those two things in Hillsdale-affiliated schools are not really mixed. Both are very important, but learning time is one thing, play time is another thing, and they're both important but need to be separate. That whole way of going about your life as a 5 or 6-year-old is new. And you're entering school for the first time and learning this ability to get yourself into learning mode that you will need to have for the rest of your childhood and well into adulthood. If these habits aren't formed, they won't naturally happen. They have to be formed eventually. And there's a kind of a there's kind of a golden opportunity to form those habits when children are young. It becomes more difficult as they get older.
Let's look at reading and math. There's kind of two different things happening when it comes to those subjects in a child's early learning. How about math first?
Learning mathematics is like building a skyscraper. It begins with, everyone knows the beginning of the mathematics skyscraper. You learn addition first, and then you learn subtraction, then you learn multiplication and division. Why is it that way? Is it because we've always done it that way? No, it's because that's the logical order in which those four essential mathematical concepts have to be taught. You cannot understand multiplication unless you understand addition first. It can't be done. Same thing with division and subtraction. So it's got to proceed in that order. The rest of math education is that way too. That's the beauty of mathematics. It's kind of pure and clean. And so the order in which it needs to be taught is logical, and we can know it. And if we follow it, it will work. Other subjects are, it's a little bit less clear, although the same principles apply. These students who lost math instruction in the early years of the pandemic and who were not given an opportunity to go back and build the foundation of their math skyscraper are at risk, because the rest of the math skyscraper is being built. And if there are holes in the early stages of the foundation, it'll be shaky and it'll eventually topple. These students will start to show the gaps in their foundation if we don't go back and fill them in properly. Reading is a similar story. The acquisition of reading skills is a process that goes on throughout a child's K through 12 education. It begins with decoding English words. And there's a period, kindergarten through third grade, where we talk about a child learning to read. And then at about third grade, a child has enough reading ability that they can start reading to learn. In other words, you can give them a text and they have enough ability to decode, enough vocabulary, enough content knowledge to read that text and get other knowledge from it other than how to decode English. If a child's learning to read foundation isn't built properly, as it already wasn't being built properly in a lot of American education, but it definitely was not being built properly when children were not going to school, then their ability to read to learn will be damaged. And reading is, in a sense, the most important thing you learn in school, because without the ability to read, you reach a point in your life where you can't learn anything new.
From a teacher's perspective, can you talk perhaps a little about that challenge then of having to expedite the learning process, or to help those children catch up in the classroom, to make up for those losses?
Yeah, that's really hard. And we run into this all the time because we work with brand new schools. And they don't just start with kindergarten. They start with kindergarten through sixth grade, or sometimes more than that. My own school started kindergarten through 10th grade. And so we were welcoming students into the first grade of first year of school who were in 7th and 8th grade. They'd never studied any formal grammar. And so they had all of these gaps in their foundation. The good news is children are made to learn. That is what childhood is learning. They're not like us. They are open to learning, and they are nimble, and they are able to absorb new information really quickly. And so it's not as difficult as you might think. The challenge is knowing how to fill the gap.
Dr. Kathleen O'Toole is with us. She is Assistant Provost for K-12 Education at Hillsdale College. Hillsdale K-12 has a network of these classical charter schools across the country. What does the available data now tell us about the effectiveness of those classical charter schools to help in this fight?
Well, the data that we have about the classical schools, the effect of the COVID shutdowns on classical schools, shows that the classical schools had less decline in student achievement. And I think that's for a very simple reason. Classical schools have a plan for students' education, kindergarten through 12th grade, and they were able, when students were no longer attending school, or whether they were when they were attending school remotely, to identify exactly what instruction was being lost. And then when they had the opportunity to be back with the kids, they knew exactly what the plan should be in order to get everyone back on track. On top of that, looking at Hillsdale schools and thinking back to that time, we were very eager to get back in the classroom with students in person as quickly as was legal and safe. And in that time when it was not possible to be with students, we kept the principles of in-person instruction alive for as much as for as long as possible. And so Zoom instruction was synchronous. And we tried as hard as we could to replicate the energy and the engagement that you see in an in-person class.
Dr. Kathleen O'Toole, Assistant Provost for K-12 Education at Hillsdale College. You can find her op-ed at the Detroit News. Classical charter schools could help reverse COVID learning losses. Dr. O'Toole, thank you for joining us here on the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. Up next, Ken Kachigian joins us. He'll tell us more about his new memoir, Behind Closed Doors, In the Room with Reagan and Nixon. I'm Scott Bertram. This is the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
I'm Shannon Phillips with the McConnell Foundation. Happy holidays. During this time, it's important to salute our military personnel, domestically and abroad, who work to keep our country safe. It's during the holidays that warm, happy feeling of being together with family that we sometimes take for granted how much we have to be thankful for. So we want to make sure that we let the families and those who serve know that we appreciate their service above self during the holidays.
Harvest savings and decorate your home for the fall with unique decor from Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage on Highway 273 in the Shasta Gateway Center in Anderson. Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage features unique antique tablecloths, napkins and runners, placemats, silverware and serving trays, plates and glassware to decorate your Thanksgiving table in style. Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage in the Shasta Gateway Center on Highway 273 in Anderson.
At Greg's Pump and Well Service, we believe integrity is the cornerstone of everything we do. This month, we proudly salute our armed forces and first responders, those who embody true service, dedication, and integrity. When you choose us for your pump and well needs, you're choosing a company that shares those same values. Thank you for your service. Let us serve you with pride. 530-282-5395. Call us at 530-282-5395, license 109-0355.
Now is a great time to prepare for the upcoming wildfire season. REU and city staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our power lines, facilities, and the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home. Clear debris from your roof and gutter and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity to power lines, call 530-224-4356. Please remember, we all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. 27 years ago, my wife Judy and I started Shasta Gas with the help and under the direction of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, we believe He is the owner and we are simply the managers. Through the years, we have received many offers from major national corporations to buy Shasta Gas, but our commitment has always been to be and remain locally owned and family operated. Our daughter Karen Wehunt and her husband Jason now manage the daily operations of Shasta Gas and Shasta Tanks, a new business we started a few years ago. We now have the third generation of family members working in the business. Sunshine Stevens, our granddaughter, and her husband Adam, and our grandson Jason. Our commitment and motto are still the same. Our customers are warm friends. To support locally owned family operated business, please call Shasta Gas Propane at 530-365-3793. That's 530-365-3793.
Want to talk to Santa Claus himself?
Ho, ho, ho! Merry Christmas!
That's right, folks. Santa will be live on the air December 12th from 6.05 to 7 p.m. Tune in to Heroes of the North State, hosted by Michelle Slade of My Umbrella Marketing. Tell Santa your Christmas wishes or just say hi. So mark your calendar for December 12th. Tell a friend and talk to Santa live while making magical memories. Call 530-605-4566 or 530-605-4567.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere Ag and Turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
Why shall we do about them?
Welcome back to the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. I'm Scott Bertram. Be sure to check out the Hillsdale College Podcast Network at podcast.hillsdale.edu. Find older episodes of this program plus all sorts of great Hillsdale audio. We're joined now by Ken Kachigian. He is the author of the new book, Behind Closed Doors, In the Room with Reagan and Nixon. Also Director Emeritus of the Richard Nixon Foundation Board of Directors, veteran of 9 presidential campaigns, and Chief Speechwriter and Senior Political Advisor for President Ronald Reagan. Ken, thanks so much for joining us.
Good. Great to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Always wonderful to hear these stories from someone who was there, and as they say, in the room where all things happened. Ken, you worked for President Nixon, worked for President Reagan, both with deep roots in the state of California, which now is known as a leftist haven. But back then was read occasionally in the presidential elections and had havens of conservatism. Do you think that the culture of California helped to form both of their approaches to politics in Washington?
I think so. You know, California was not, we didn't have 40-odd million people back in 1946 when Dick Nixon was elected to the Congress. And when Ronald Reagan got elected to the governorship, the culture of California was wholly different. In fact, you know, I just didn't work for those two presidents. I helped, was the lead strategist for Governor George Duke Majan when he won the governorship in 1982. And I helped Dan Lundgren get elected Attorney General in 1990. And I worked with Pete Wilson. So Republicans were winning elections up through 1994, California, when the culture was such that we still believed in strong borders and strong criminal laws. And the universities weren't, you know, they were open institutions to open ideas, and they weren't as closed as they are now. Mm-hmm. The concept of radical taxation really began with Jerry Brown, frankly, who didn't have much of a sense of controlling government. He was sort of off there in some starry-eyed land and lost control of when he became got into a second term when he returned to the governorship. So things changed pretty dramatically beginning in the 90s and then in the turn of the century. And Governor Schwarzenegger was, although he was a Republican, was not in the same Republican mold as Richard Nixon and Ronald Reagan. So that culture shift changed largely also because I would have to say the unions start taking over the schools and had a huge impact on the education of our children, and the universities, of course, had a much bigger impact on education. When I went to college in University of California, Santa Barbara, even though a lot of my professors were liberal, they didn't try to influence my opinion or the opinion of their classes. They gave a very balanced view of their courses, but now I think that's wholly different. So I think that's what's happened to California over the last few years.
We won't get into everything, of course, inside Behind Closed Doors, the new book from Ken Kachigian. There's a wonderful part at the beginning where you take us through the prep for the Frost-Nixon interviews. On a larger Watergate scale, though, you lament that Nixon did not end up having the support of the House and Senate Republicans. They didn't stand up for him during the Watergate scandal and post-Watergate scandal. Why didn't he find that support? What happened?
You know, I think there was just overall fatigue. That's a really interesting question you asked. And I think looking back, people forget that Nixon came into office bearing an enormous burden that was left to, he was left with a snarling wolf at his doorstep, and that was Vietnam War, left to him by the Kennedy-Johnson administration. 540,000 men in Vietnam, with 500 of them being killed every month, with another 1,000 casualties. And he was trying to draw down that war. And the protests, which began under Johnson, spilled over into Nixon's administration with the massive protests all across the country, beginning right after Nixon took office. The Republicans in Congress were in the position of having to defend what then turned into Nixon's war, although it wasn't Nixon's war.
Mm-hmm.
It was really Kennedy and Johnson's war, but they had to defend Nixon's war policies as he was trying to bring the war down, and he had to continue the defense of that, what was going on in the Vietnam War, because he was trying to balance off China against the Soviet Union because they were thermonuclear war powers. And he was trying to offset what was happening on a much grander scale. So what took place was he was calling on his colleagues, Republican colleagues in Congress, for their support, for monetary support, for financial support, in a Congress that was dominated by Democrats. And by the time Watergate hit in 1972 and then up through 74, after 2 years of fighting Watergate, the Republicans in Congress were just tired.
Hmm.
They were really just tired of defending the Vietnam policies. They were tired of defending the media attacks on Watergate that were all, and the partisan attacks from their colleagues in Congress. And the other factor involved was that there was, in 1973, was the Yom Kippur War in the Middle East caused the Arab oil embargo, and gas prices shot up in the fall of 73 and early 74. They shot up by 35%. So now Nixon was faced with a recession.
Mm-hmm.
And so Americans were angry across the board. So Republicans in Congress and the Senate and House were faced with having to defend an administration that was bearing the burden of the end of the Vietnam War, which ended with the peace talks at the beginning of 73, with the burden of Watergate, and now you have a recession in 73. You know, it's not the bravery doesn't take place when you're on the ballot quite often. So they just were just tired of fighting.
Ken will pause right there and return in a moment. We'll talk more about his experiences with Ronald Reagan and Richard Nixon and the new book Behind Closed Doors. I'm Scott Bertram. This is the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Auto Body. You've been in an accident with your vehicle. You call your insurance. The first thing they do is tell you where to go to get an estimate and repairs. Well, tell them where to go and come see us at Coachmaster. They're sending you to their discount repair shop to get the cheapest repair possible. This is not in your best interest. You have the right to choose Coachmaster to do your repairs. All we need is your claim number and we can handle the entire process. At Coachmaster, we don't repair your vehicle for the insurance company. We repair it for you. We use quality parts and products to ensure the highest quality repairs. Your vehicle will be returned to a pre-loss condition. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Coachmaster Collision Repair continues to be the leader in the North State for advanced technology in the collision repair industry. Remember Coachmaster on East Side Road. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
At Cornerstone Community Bank, you're more than just a customer. You're our friends, neighbors, the local businesses where we shop, and the restaurants where we dine. Your success strengthens our community. Come meet our amazing teams in Redding, Red Bluff, and our newest location in Anderson, and find out why we are more than banking. Cornerstone Community Bank, member FDIC and equal housing lender.
Ready to turn your dreams into reality? At Simpson University, we offer a private Christian education that enriches your academic journey with faith and purpose. Whether you're pursuing your undergraduate degree, completing your degree, or advancing through graduate studies, our dynamic programs, personalized mentorship, and vibrant community are here to support you. Discover how Simpson University can help you achieve your goals and grow spiritually. Visit simpsonu.edu today to learn more. Simpson University, where your potential is limitless.
Join Tokens Radio Show every Sunday at 2 p.m. on 96.5 FM and AM 1460 as hosts Christy Matthews and Linda Kent explore the exciting world of cryptocurrency and blockchain technology. Learn how Bitcoin is revolutionizing finance and grasp sound money principles. Hear new perspectives on achieving financial freedom beyond broken institutions. The future of money is here. Empower yourself with knowledge. Listen to Tokens Radio Show with Linda and Christy this Sunday at 2 p.m. on KCNR. Big and exciting changes are underway.
If you're tired of artificial intelligence and dishonest news, tune in to Poke the Hornet's Nest every other Sunday at 8 a.m.
Join Nick Gardner and Doug Janke, two hosts who were educated at School of Hard Knocks. Get a layman's view of local government as well as our take on national and world events.
If you're woke, go back to bed. You won't like us. We believe there's a difference between a man and a woman, and I think you probably know what it is.
Tune in to Poke the Hornet's Nest every other Sunday, 8 a.m. here on KCNR1460.com, 96.5 FM, and 1460 AM.
We're back on the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. I'm Scott Bertram. We've been talking with Ken Kachigian. He is a longtime presidential advisor and a trusted confidant to both Ronald Reagan and Richard Nixon. His new book, Behind Closed Doors, In the Room with Reagan and Nixon. Ken, you have the Watergate scandal with Nixon. You have Iran-Contra with Ronald Reagan. How would you compare or contrast the approaches in dealing with those topics in those various administrations?
Watergate was dragged out for 2 years, and it was between the two of them was that both presidents really had very little knowledge of a lot of the true facts going into them. Obviously, Richard Nixon, just so your listeners are aware, a lot of people think that, you know, he instituted the break-in, which is, that's crazy. He had no knowledge of the Watergate break-in. He didn't authorize it. He had nothing to do with it. And he was getting bad information about who was in charge. He was getting denials from the leadership at his campaign committee about who instituted it. So he instantly went to his backup plan, which was political damage control. In Reagan's case, it was pretty much the same. He didn't have the full facts instantly with regard to Iran-Contra. He didn't while he authorized the weapons transfer that got him in trouble, it was rather a confusing situation. I think he thought he was doing the right thing, but then he wasn't getting all the I think proper information, and I think what he thought he had done was the right thing for his foreign policy, but he didn't realize that he was getting enmeshed in something that was deeper than it was. And so in both cases, the things got out of control more than they wanted to.
Ken, there's lots in Behind Closed Doors about Ronald Reagan's wife, Nancy Reagan, and the relationship she had both with the president and the relationship he had with you and other staffers. You sort of run the gamut from early in the administration. You describe her as being a chief of staff, Ronald Reagan's tough guy when it was needed. And then you take it all the way through this, I guess we'd say, conflict you had with her around the 1987 State of the Union address. The president wanted to include some language about protecting the unborn. Nancy behind him, shaking her head, mm-hmm. No, don't do it. Well, how would you describe Nancy Reagan's role, you know, in the president's administration? How important was she in shaping the message that eventually went to the American public?
Well, she was there was no one closer to the president than Mrs. Reagan. He relied on her so much for advice on everything. If there was good cop, bad cop, she had to be bad cop, she was bad cop. And if he wanted to convey a message that he was uncomfortable in conveying, sometimes he would have Mrs. Reagan convey it. And she was helpful in the campaign of 80, for example. I describe her as the chief of staff because she helped bring order to the campaign. If there was, to me, she was very helpful in teaching me what was the best way for him to communicate sometimes. And then later in the 84 campaign, when the president was getting bad advice from his chief of staff and his deputy chief of staff on how to communicate in the campaign, Mrs. Reagan got them all straightened out, and she was my ally in that respect. But she disagreed with the president on this particular policy of abortion, and the scene I describe was where the president in the 1987 State of the Union address, as we were finalizing the speech, said to me, I don't have the exact words in front of me, but it was words to the effect, Ken, we don't have a message here for our friends about protecting the unborn. Mm-hmm. Usually I have those in my speeches. And Mrs. Reagan was standing behind him and gesturing to me, shaking her head to no, no, no. And I knew that if I insisted on putting the language in agreement with him, that I would be caught afoul of Mrs. Reagan, which was not a very pleasant situation. So I concocted a sort of a situation where I'd convince the president, well, you know, you've always... your friends know where your heart lies, and you've included it in all your other speeches. And so I think this may be this one time, if you leave it out, you can be forgiven.
Ken Kachigian with us, his book, Behind Closed Doors, In the Room with Reagan and Nixon. You advised 9 presidential campaigns, and in particular, of course, Nixon and Reagan. And every president is different. Every candidate is different. Every campaign is different. I am wondering if, in reviewing your notes and thinking back to these times and writing Behind Closed Doors, you stumbled across any universal truths of campaigning and governing. Are there pieces of advice that you could give to any of those campaigns you advise that would work for all of them?
Well, there's one central theme that it works in every campaign, basically, that Richard Nixon advised President Reagan in 1980, and that's one of the themes of the book, by the way, that people didn't know about, that Nixon advised Reagan secretly in 80 and 84, that people will find out in the book, that's very important, and that Nixon put into memos to Reagan, and that is that the economy is a very central issue on people's minds, and that goes back, if you think about it, that goes back to the 20th century. It goes back to the days of Hoover and FDR and Truman and Kennedy and the years of all those other campaigns. People think about the economy. So when you think about what happens in people's lives when they wake up in the morning, go to bed at night, they think about feeding their families, paying their rent, paying their mortgage, how to get by every day. And another central point is does someone have the depth to wear the mantle of the leader of the free world? And I think that's an issue. It's sort of subliminal, and if everything else is in the balance, if all else is equal, I think people will look at somebody and say, can that person be on the world stage and honor the country and be in a position to keep America safe in a troubled situation?
Ken Kachigian is the Director Emeritus of the Richard Nixon Foundation Board of Directors, veteran of 9 presidential campaigns, chief speechwriter and senior political advisor for Ronald Reagan, and the author of the new book, Behind Closed Doors, In the Room with Reagan and Nixon. Ken, thanks so much for joining us today on the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Great to be here. Thank you. Thanks for listening to me. Thank you.
Up next, we hear excerpts from a Hillsdale College lecture from Clay Travis, co-host of the Clay and Buck Show and founder of OutKick. I'm Scott Bertram. This is the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Smoke and sap, dirt and grime, leaves and pollen, and even bugs. Just a few things that can possibly damage your vehicle's paint over time, causing it to pit, fade, and oxidize, basically ruining your paint job. Quick and Clean Car Wash can help. Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading invites you to stop by and enjoy their all-cloth car wash, where they take the time to pre-wash and hand-scrub your car or truck. Quick and Clean Car Wash also offers car wash packages. Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading.
Hi, this is Linda Fott. Join me for the first Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. for my show, North State Now. In this one-hour show, we cover what's happening in the music scene, theater, food, and arts. We get in-depth interviews with local business owners, musicians, actors, and authors. Listen in, tune in, call in, participate. Win tickets to concerts and theater productions. It's a lot of fun, and believe me, it keeps us going. Join me, your host, Linda Bott, or North State Now, the first Thursday, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Also streaming at KCNR1460.com.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and heard online at KCNR1460.com, has teamed up with the Flag Center and are giving you a chance to win an American flag. And there are two ways to qualify to win a beautiful, high-quality American flag by Annan. We will be giving them away every Friday morning at 8:15. Now, the first way to qualify is listen weekdays between 7 a.m. and 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bott during Free Fire Radio. And they're going to let you know when to call in to qualify at 530-605-4566. And the second way to qualify, check out our Facebook page. Look for the American flag and type your name in the comments. Then, every Friday morning at 8:15, we will draw a winner of a beautiful American flag from the Flag Center at 2124 Hilltop Drive and your friends here at KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at KCNR1460.com.
Good morning, Reading. This is Rick Hughes, host of The Flatline. Heard every Sunday morning on KCNR 96.5 FM at 7 a.m. in the morning. Just want you to know that God has given us two ends, one to think with and one to sit on. And success in life depends on which one you use. It's heads you win and tails you lose. Come join me on The Flatline and learn about God's tremendous problem-solving device. 7 a.m. every Sunday morning, 96.5 FM, KCNR.
Welcome back to the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. I'm Scott Bertram. Find us on X. We're at Hillsdale Radio. We now hear excerpts from a recent lecture by Clay Travis, co-host of The Clay and Buck Show and founder of OutKick. His lecture, titled Wokeness in Sports, was delivered in April of 2024 at a Hillsdale College event in Bellevue, Washington. Clay Travis begins by telling us about how he entered the world of sports journalism and why sports is so important.
I came into the world of sports as a lawyer with the idea that sports was an escape from the serious things in life. A toy chest is the way it's described of life. That sports, if you read the newspaper, and I still like to read old school newspapers, I'm sure some of you do, is one of the only sections, if not the only section, that regularly celebrates achievement, not failure. That we read sports because it is the ultimate meritocracy. The best man or woman wins, not the best man pretending to be a woman. And what they have done, what I saw, and look, I got into it as just a diehard Southeastern Conference football fan. I love college football. It's one of my passions. I love sports in general. I got into it because I wanted to escape the serious things in life. And the thing that I loved about sports, my first book I wrote was Dixieland Delight, about going around to all 12 SEC football stadiums as a fan. What I loved about it was it brought everybody together. White, black, Asian, Hispanic, male, female. If you have ever been in a crowd, your team wins a game. As you're high-fiving everybody around you in that stadium or that arena, you don't think about their race. You don't think about their gender. You don't think about their political beliefs. That is a uniquely connective moment. And the next day after a game, you could have a janitor and a neurosurgeon sitting at a table together in that cafeteria, and they could have the exact same, watch the exact same game and have a totally different opinion on the coach or the quarterback or the play calling. And you know what? That janitor and that neurosurgeon would be on equal playing fields when it came to their opinion. I've made this analogy for a while. We have created identity politics and tried to transmit it to the world of sports. Think about how often you hear somebody say now their identity as a prelude to the opinion they're about to share. Why in the world should I care what you look like? I care about the quality of your opinion. How did that happen? How did the left manage to take over sports?
Travis continues explaining why we need to have things in common and how sports helps give us that common bond. Nope.
So how do we get here? What are we seeing? Dr. Arndt's commentary was so interesting to me. We were talking during the meal. He said, everybody has to take the same courses. You have to have a common language. I took my family to Italy. I'd never gotten to go. I work way too much. But last spring break, we went to Italy. We toured all over the place. My kids were like, another cathedral. You know, if you've got young kids, they're like, another one, Dad. You know, like, But I was blown away by it because I love the idea of someone being so committed to their craft that they just try to make one thing infinitely more beautiful than it would otherwise be that will outlast their life. And if you walk into so many of those Italian cathedrals, they were competing to create monuments of everlasting glory. And you would have the most talented artist who might spend 10 years on a small part of one of those cathedrals. And you stand and look at it today, and your jaw still drops at its imposing beauty. And while I was there, I thought to myself, what has been built in my life that anybody would travel to go see hundreds of years from now? I was born in 1979. I can't think of a single edifice that is so incredible and that people are so committed to that it will still matter in 400 years. And the need for, how did they do that? Turns out Western civilization is a profoundly good thing. And what I don't hear enough people pointing out, and I think sports is a big part of this, is your ability to rip American institutions is a luxury of Western civilization that has provided you the opportunity, the platform, and the freedom with which to do that. They truly don't understand the reason why they have the luxury to have the freedom of speech that they have is the legacy of Western civilization, which they are currently trying to destroy, which will return us to an era in which they are unable to say what they actually believe.
We're listening to excerpts from a Hillsdale College lecture by Clay Travis, co-host of the Clay and Buck Show and founder of Outkick. This is from April of 2024 on wokeness in sports. Travis explains here how politics began to infiltrate sports.
Now, the truth matters. And this is where we all come in and why I'm optimistic and how it changes. What's wild to me is I think 90% of sports fans understand that men should compete against men and women should compete against women. I don't think that's a remotely controversial option. Yet the only sports media company in the world, or at least in the United States, that will say that is Outkick. The market, though, can win. And this is where Hillsdale comes in, and this is where being a voice for truth in a world that is filled with artificiality comes in. The great thing about sports is, unlike argument, two different sides of an argument can happen, and you can both leave, and you can think you both won. What I love about sports is it eliminates the uncertainty. We can all argue about who the best man or woman is, or who the best team is. Game happens, and then we all agree. I have never seen the team that lost in a tournament show up and try to take the court after they didn't have the most points on a scoreboard. Everybody agrees with what happens in that contest. Over time, the truth wins because ultimately the market does decide. And I look around now and I say to myself, we're the lone voice in the wilderness on this issue. But everywhere I go, I see more and more people coming up to me and saying, thank you for saying what you said. Riley Gaines, who I talked about earlier, she's 20 freaking 3 years old. She was set to go be a dentist if she hadn't happened to swim against a man pretending to be a woman. And she just said, this is wrong, and changed her entire career trajectory to just fight against that. It's bravery. It's courage.
And finally, Clay Travis concludes by talking about women being taken advantage of in athletics and how we all must stand up to help truth prevail.
I don't think that this is really, for the most part, I think it's wrong. But I think it's going to have to be women talking to other women and standing up for the reality of what it is to be a woman to keep men from being able to take over women's spaces. We talk a lot about male privilege, white privilege, all these things. I got to be honest with y'all. I can't think of a higher level of privilege than I'm a dude. I'm going to pretend to be a woman. You all have to claim that I'm a woman and acknowledge it, and I'm going to become a women's champion. That's what's going on right now. That's what was just reinforced and echoed 10 days ago. So where we are is not representative of where America is. And that is why all of you, but particularly women, have to rise up and speak out and make your voices heard. Because what I believe is the rational, common sense American public sports fan is not being served by the marketplace and not being spoken to honestly. That's what we strive to do every single day at OutKick, which is why the number one thing I hear every day is, you say what I wish I could say. And I say that is a tremendous privilege, but I wish and do believe that one day in America, the truth will prevail again, and all of you will be able to say exactly what you believe without having to look over your shoulder and worry about whether it's going to cost you your job or whether some DEI employee is going to be monitoring what you posted on Facebook or on social media. And I do believe that the truth will rise again. And I think and believe that OutKick is going to be a huge part of that. But we have to take back sports, and we have to take back honesty and truth. And only then can sports return where I do believe it should be, as a place of unity rather than division in the modern American culture.
That was Clay Travis, co-host of the Clay and Buck Show, his lecture, Wokeness in Sports. You can find the full lecture at freedomlibrary.hillsdale.edu. That will wrap up this edition of the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. Our thanks to Dr. Kathleen O'Toole, Ken Kachigian, his book Behind Closed Doors, and Clay Travis. The Radio Free Hillsdale Hour is recorded at the studios of WRFH, the student-run radio station at Hillsdale College. You can hear new episodes every week on this station. You also can find extended versions of some of our interviews or listen anytime to the podcast. Find it at podcast.hillsdale.edu or wherever you get your audio. Until next week, I'm Scott Bertram, and this has been the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Harvest savings and decorate your home for the fall with unique decor from Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage on Highway 273 in the Shasta Gateway Center in Anderson. Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage features unique antique tablecloths, napkins and runners, placemats, silverware and serving trays, plates and glassware to decorate your Thanksgiving table in style. Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage in the Shasta Gateway Center on Highway 273 in Anderson.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
KCNR invites you to join us the second Friday of the month starting at 8 a.m. for the Gorman Law Hour featuring local attorney Patrick Gorman, a legal expert when it comes to injured workers, compensation claims, and employee claims. So, if you have a legal question or just wonder whether or not you have a legal issue or problem, talk to Patrick Gorman, attorney at law, during the Gorman Law Hour starting at 8 a.m. the second Friday of the month on KCNR.
This is Carl Bott. Join me tomorrow, Thursday, down at Cornerstone Community Bank on Hartnell Avenue as we are raising funds for RABA's Salute to the Troops so that veterans will have free bus passes for the rest of the year. That's Thursday, Cornerstone Community Bank on Hartnell. And just drop by, drop off a donation, and say hello. All of this Thursday right here. Free Fire Radio, KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Your talk radio. Miss a day, miss a lot.
John Cruz here with America Outdoors Radio. Be sure to tune in this weekend and catch the latest in fishing, hunting, conservation, and destinations. If you love spending time in the field or on the water or in the woods, you're going to love this show. It's America Outdoors Radio, the fastest growing outdoors radio show in the nation. Tune in Saturdays from noon to 1 p.m. on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM KCNR, your talk radio.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.